أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and He has created us of two essential components. The first is the body, and the second is the soul. The soul is who we are. The body is what that soul is trapped in. This body has a very temporary limit. And once we pass from this life, this body will disappear, and the only thing that will remain is our soul. The example would be a person who gets in a car and travels from point A to point B. When you see a person traveling in a car, you can say, there's a person and he's in a car. The person is the actual most more important thing. The car is just a mechanism to get the person from point A to point B. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in a vehicle. The essence of who we are is our soul. The vehicle in which this soul is traveling is called the body. And in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has trapped us in this body and has created certain tests to ensure that we maintain our soul without focusing on our body. Now what's interesting is that although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us both a body and a soul, and the soul is the more important and the key component of who we are, the body also has its needs. It needs to be maintained. Look, in the same way that you do an oil change and you change the tires and you maintain your car, even though the car is not the goal, you have to maintain it. So in the same way, the body has to be maintained. The body requires food. The body requires drink. The body has its needs. And those needs have to be maintained in order for the body to be able to act as a vehicle for the soul. But if the body becomes too focused on, then the soul also gets harmed. Now what's beautiful is that the Sharia is the manual for how to maintain both the body and the soul. This is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, that the Sharia and the Sunnah recognize the intricate components of the human being, recognize the balance that's necessary in order to maintain the human being, and then they assign and prohibit acts based on what's best for both the body and the soul. Now, we would not be able to do that ourselves, because the body and the soul are so intricately connected that sometimes you even lose sense of what's what. And in fact, the vast majority of human beings have completely lost sense of what's important and what's not. So for us to have a doctrine which is revealed by our Lord and exemplified by Rasulullah SAW, for us to have an example of that doctrine is a great blessing upon us and something that we should be extremely thankful for. When the Sharia says that, you know, you should do X and avoid Y, anytime you do X and avoid Y, it's going to be beneficial for the soul and beneficial for the body. For example, the Sharia says you should eat because the body needs to eat, but you should maintain the amount that you eat so that you don't make the body lazy and sick and a burden on the soul. It's only by maintaining the appropriate balance that a human being can succeed in this life. And the Sharia outlines that perfect balance. And if you want to look at today's world, you'll see that many, many, many people have overemphasized the body to the extent that they've completely lost sense of the soul. So much more importance is made on what the person wears than who the person is, and what the person drives rather than who the person is, and where the person sleeps rather than who the person is, and what the person eats rather than who the person is. Now, one thing that we should recognize, and it's the major fallacy of the world today, meaning the major mistake that people have made in the world today, is that we have lost sense of the importance of nourishing both components of who we are. So, look, when a baby's born, every person knows that you have to take care of the baby so that the baby's body can grow. Everybody knows it, and so much emphasis is placed on it. Now, of course, the Sharia accepts that the body is important and the body needs to be maintained. But just as the body needs to grow, and it's the responsibility of the parents to ensure that the body grows, In the same way, when a baby is born, the baby's soul is extremely immature. So it also becomes the responsibility of the parents to ensure that the baby's soul is grown. So these two components of a human being, they both have to be developed across the life of the human being. You have to develop the baby's body and brain and intellect, and you have to develop the baby's soul. The vast majority of emphasis in this day and age is placed on the body. How big, how tall, how fair, how smart, all of these are aspects of the body. But very little emphasis is placed on ensuring that there is development of the soul. Now, if a person wants to develop the body or wants to develop the soul, then they have to recognize that the nutrients of the body and the nutrients of the soul are very different. The body is nourished from where the body came, and the soul is nourished from where the soul came. Very simple principle. The body is nourished from where the body came, and the soul is nourished from where the soul came. So start with A. Essentially, the body is composed of dirt, right? Or dirt and clay and different components of earth. So the body came from dirt, and the body is nourished and protected through dirt. For example, in order to feed the body, you give the body food. Food comes from where? Food comes from the ground. Or food comes from the animals, which also come from dirt. Right? The animals, they eat the leaves from the ground, they grow, then they get slaughtered, then you eat their meat. All of this is from the same realm. So similarly, in order to protect the body and house the body, you put the body in a house. The house comes from bricks, the brick comes from the ground. So the body comes from dirt, and everything that nourishes the body will also come from dirt. The food that we eat, the houses that we live in, the clothes that we wear, they are all derived from the ground, just as the body is derived from the ground. So that's the nourishment of the body. The nourishment of the soul comes from where the soul came from. So where did the soul come from? The soul came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's a spirit in essence. So the spirit will be nourished by things that are spiritual. So for example, what's spiritual? Salah is spiritual. Quran is spiritual. These are the things that nourish the soul. Now, why do we place an emphasis on this? Because we have become confused in this day and age, and we assume that the things from the ground will benefit the soul. And I will guarantee you, there is no way, shape, or form that the things from the ground will benefit the soul. Now, how is that? So some people think that if I eat better food, I'll feel more spiritual. So they may spend more money on their food, or they may place more emphasis on the type of food they eat. However, food will never nourish the soul. Some people say that if I drive a nicer car, I'll feel more spiritual. I'll feel more uplifted. It doesn't matter what car you drive, it is not going to spiritually benefit the soul. Some people feel that if I live in a better house, I'll feel happier. There's no correlation with the size of the house and the happiness of the person, because happiness is a characteristic of the soul. And the soul does not get nourished by things from the ground. So this is the first fallacy that we have to appreciate, that in this day and age we've become very deceived by this. We somehow think that the more we have from the ground, the happier we'll be. And there is no way that we will be happier with more from the ground. It just does not feed the soul, it only feeds the body. And what's interesting is that the more the body is fed, the more it grows. And the more it grows, the more it represses the soul. You can think of it this way. It's a box. The human being is a box. It has a component that's body. It has a component that's soul. There's only so much space in the box. If you overgrow the body, then the soul gets compressed and pushed to the side. And in this day and age, all this emphasis on body has resulted in people becoming placing an overemphasis on the body, and the soul becoming extremely marginalized in this day and age. Which then basically means what? People become like their bodies, which is animalistic. And then you see that animalistic desires begin to take over a person as they begin to live the life of the body, repressing the soul. This is the general principle of who we are. So in a nutshell, we are composed of a body and a soul. The body is temporary, the soul is permanent. The body will be placed in the grave and will disintegrate. The soul will move on to the next world. The body has to be maintained, and the Sharia establishes its maintenance. However, anytime the body is overemphasized, we marginalize the soul. And when we marginalize the soul, it is at the cost of our own spirituality. Now, unfortunately, we spend the vast majority of our lives and the vast majority of the year completely out of balance. Completely out of balance. We put all this emphasis on what we eat. We put all this emphasis on what we wear. We put all this emphasis on where we live. We put all this emphasis on what we drive. And then what ends up happening is, over time, we marginalize the soul until the soul is barely hanging on, you know, by a fine thread. And we feed the soul, but we feed it very little. A quick salah with very short ruku and sujood, minimal interaction with the Quran, limited good company. So the soul, no, even though we're Muslim and we put an emphasis on the soul becomes extremely marginalized. Now, with that background, then you can say that one of the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He allows us to reformat ourselves once a year. It's like a computer. You know, a computer, you turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, you interact with the outside world, and eventually over time you pick up viruses, you pick up all this bloatware and all these other things that slow the computer down. Now, you can do this, you know, you can have these little search bots that go through and remove the files that don't belong, but eventually, if you aren't careful, you need to completely reboot the system. So what do? You just basically wipe out the hard drive and start over. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a chance to completely reboot. And that comes in the month of Ramadan. It's a huge blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see, the construct of the month of Ramadan reverses the mistake that we've made the other 11 months. Now, what happens in the month of Ramadan? Very, very simple. So rule number one, no eating from dawn to dusk. Right? No eating throughout the daylight. Now, rule number two, no drinking. Rule number three, no marital relations. That's it. That's the summary of the month of Ramadan. But what does that do? Its effect is far-reaching. By doing that, the body now loses its overemphasis. So now there's a shift in balance. Before, when the emphasis was on food and drink and sleep, the body was growing and took control. Once you remove food, and you remove drink, right, and you remove sleep because of the schedule that a person has to keep, the body now loses its fuel. And the body slowly over time begins to come back down to what it should be, which is a marginalized sideshow. So now what happens? This becomes like a snowball effect. Slowly over time, the spirit gets revived and the body becomes marginalized as it should be. So much so that by the time the person reaches the end of Ramadan, they come out completely reset. Those last days of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to free the people that had bound themselves to the hellfire. Now, how had they bound themselves? They let their bodies take control. Their bodies were driving what they did. They became animals. They began to pursue whatever their eyes saw. They began to pursue whatever they thought in their mind. They began to do things that they know they shouldn't be doing. So essentially, the person was driving themselves in the direction of hellfire because the body is the vehicle that controls where you go. So what happens is the person gets a chance to completely reset. That's the essence of this month that is upon us.